Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You know them from the Greg Hill Morning Show.
Ken and others
are acting like straight bitches.
I'm not sure who Ken is. Curtis, your one-liners suck.
Or the morning show before that.
Next, you hear from Jerry, who says,
but we have many arrangements for that, Lumpy.
And you definitely hate one of them.
That is Ken Laird.
At least.
Yeah.
It's the Ken and Curtis Show.
Ken and Curtis aren't adults.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Good weekend.
All right, Curtis, explain to me again why Chris Sale started last night. Because I'm with Shaughnessy. I don't get it. Lou Maloney, if he was here, would tell me I don't get it. I understand. I kind of was. Lou put up this video before the game. He was trying to explain why they needed Sale in game one with bullpen support and blah, 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 blah. Just call me crazy. I would have preferred Eovaldi. I wanted Eovaldi last night, and the bullpen cost them the game. That decision lost them game one.
So do these people that are saying, whether it's Lou or, sorry, rough morning for me here, whether it's Lou or Shaughnessy, or no, Lou and Shaughnessy disagree, does Lou believe that everybody in the history of baseball has done it wrong up until this point? Are you, every team that started with their ace or their best pitcher at the time, were they wrong? Was Francona wrong to start Schilling? Was, you know, whoever, Brenly with the Dodgers wrong to start Randy Johnson? I mean,
well, everything's different because the Dodgers used an opener to clinch game five against the Giants. So baseball is totally different. I mean, I will acknowledge that.
Since when in the city of Boston do you have a guy that pees himself on the mound in an ALCS game making $30 million a year and it's like, it's okay, we got 2 2/3 out of you? I tweeted this last night and I did the research this morning. I have never been more right in my life. David Price was twice the player in Boston than Chris Sale. If that were David Price last night and he threw the exact same outing, 2 2/3, the entire city would be killing him this morning. And guess what? They'd be right, because when you play bad in big spots and you have a big contract, you get ripped. Or at least I thought you did in Boston.
Well, it's not that he performed bad. He just didn't go deep enough, right? He got 8 outs, and the bullpen had to pick up 19, and they're not good enough to do it. And it's a winnable game that you blew. So, he's just not – like, if Price was on the mound, he would have had length. It's a different argument, right? Because one guy's coming off Tommy John, and Price never was at that point. I mean –
Price had elbow issues in 2017 when he was pitching and he pitched poorly. Nobody used that as an excuse at the time.
Yeah. I guess I hear your point, but I just don't want to talk about David Price. Do we have to bring him into the conversation?
Well, it's just amazing to me. Chris Sale is beloved in this town. Everybody loves Chris Sale. He says the right things. He seems like a great guy.
That's part of the problem. That's why Cora was duped. He was enticed by the image of Chris Sale to start him last night.
In 9 postseason appearances with the Boston Red Sox, his only 9 in his career because with the White Sox he never went, he has allowed 22 earned runs in 27 innings pitched, an ERA little under 8 for his career. He has been an absolute disgrace. And not only the playoffs this year, in the final week, which was basically the playoffs, he couldn't get the Sox out of the... What was the performance in Washington, Ken? He couldn't get out of what inning in that game?
Well, it was like the first, I think. He pulled after 1.
Right. I mean, what are we doing here?
Yeah, but that's... I mean, don't... You're conflating two things. You're looking at the body of work of Chris Sale. Everybody would grade him on a curve this year based on coming off. You don't doubt that he's got issues, arm issues that he's got to recover from, and consistency's not there.
So why is he starting game one?
Well, that's the ultimate question. This is about Cora, not about Sale.
Well, it's both. I mean, if that were anybody else that wasn't Chris Sale, they would be getting destroyed today. That's what happens in Boston when you poof your pants on the mound in the playoffs.
But it's not the athlete. He's doing the best he can. It's not his fault.
So
it's the manager's fault if he's not, if this is 70% Chris Sale, if it's 60, what do you think it is? His stuff was better at times last night. Like, I thought when Altuve came to the mound, it was over. Bottom of the second. You know, bases are loaded, Altuve's up, it's already 1-0. And he had some, Dusty Baker was right, he had some filthy stuff. I mean, he struck out Altuve, he got out of the inning thanks to Kike's diving catch in center, which was unbelievable.
He was helped by his defense, and it felt like we were watching a toddler. Everybody on Twitter was watching a toddler. It was like, ooh, good try. Oh, Chris. Oh, look at how cute you look in your uniform. It was like...
No, that's not, like, there were some shades of Chris Sale. Like,
How many base runners did he allow in 2 2/3 yesterday? It felt like the bases were loaded the entire time.
He went through the lineup basically twice and threw it 2 2/3. So, almost.
So why does Lou Maloney say that Alex Cora was right to start Chris Sale?
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out. I need help on this. I got to be honest. 617-779-7937. Why does Lou feel like he's still right, that was the right decision to start Sale in game one? It was a winnable game. Now, you could blame it on just the bullpen didn't get it done. You could just say Houck wasn't good enough, I guess. Or Robles wasn't good enough, or Sawamura wasn't good enough. But that's the point. Nobody wanted Sawamura to pitch in game one of the ALCS. You had to, because you're now down pitchers because you had to blow. Wouldn't it have been better for Ottavino, who you had to use early, to pitch in an eighth inning in a game like that?
The whole staff gets thrown around because of this stuff. Guys that are used to be in the eighth are not in the eighth. Guys that are coming into the second or third inning. I mean, that was a game that was there for the taking. You had great defensive plays.
Oh, God, it hurts to lose that game.
I mean, those are the games. You're not going to get those opportunities very often to be, despite everything, up 3-1 in the fifth inning. That was a game that the Red Sox win with Eovaldi on the mound, in my opinion.
There's no doubt about it.
And then if you go up 1-0, okay, great. House money. You're going to be going back to Boston at worst with a 1-1 series, and you can close it out at home if you want to win three straight. But this series is so tight, it is the margin of error is so slim between these teams. To start Chris Sale yesterday on some prayer or hope or wish that you think he's turned things around is a massive mistake. I said before the game, say what you will about Alex Cora, the guy's got balls. Definitely he's got big ones.
He took a gamble last night. It was a ballsy gamble.
And when you gamble and you lose, you get heat. And that's what I thought happened. You know, when you make a mistake, you know, when Grady Little leaves Pedro in, he gets run out of town. You know, this is obviously not on that same level, but when a manager makes a gut decision that doesn't pan out, they get heat.
Yeah, I mean, he does for me. I mean, I love Cora. Who would you want any other manager? We spent the week praising the guy. Like, he's a better coach than Belichick. He's the best coach in the city. Everything he does works. It's almost like it's to a point where it's silly to question any of his moves because everything he does, unconventional or not, works out.
Well, it's sort
in
of
this
like,
case, it didn't.
It's sort of like when Mac replaced Cam instead of replacing Brady, Cora comes in and replaces Renicky, and everything looks amazing.
But the question here is, it didn't work out, it appears, but some people are saying it still worked out. Not just Lou. Bradford wrote this after the game last night. It was one loss that might have done more good than most.
Who said that?
Bradford. That's at the end of Rob's column.
Why?
I guess. I don't want to speak for Rob, but I think the only gleam you can take out of this. Gleam? Whatever. The only
thing you can glean. God, what? I thought you were magna cum laude.
You started with a cough. The only thing, silver lining you can take out of this is that Sale was better and they did try to pump him up with some confidence. So I guess when he starts game five at Fenway Wednesday night, which he's going to have to now, you hope that he is the old Chris Sale and he builds off this performance, right? And he's back pitching at home and he delivers in game five.
Builds off 2 2/3?
He builds off the stuff.
I thought he only had
one
earned
run. One earned run. Well, he threw the changeup a little bit. He worked the changeup in. The fastball was good.
Bradford tweeted that he didn't throw it, and then Tomasi said he threw it, and then Bradford changed it. So I don't know what was going on there.
He didn't throw many. He threw one late there. I mean, I don't know. I'm having a tough time convincing myself either. Because I think Maloney's assessment is that they wanted a full bullpen when Sale started, right? Which I can understand. Okay, so you know Sale's not going to go deep, so therefore you need your bullpen at maximum level depth capacity, okay? But you're overthinking it because what you did now is Eovaldi, instead of being able to start games one and five, now starts game two. You may not see him again if you get eliminated in five. At best, you're hoping he gets game six, and then he's not available in a game seven on short rest. Whereas if you had pitched Eovaldi yesterday, you and I believe they win game one.
Definitely.
He comes back game five at home, and then he's got a couple days rest, and you can use him out of the bullpen in game seven. Cora way overthought this. Way overthought.
Well, in the point of starting your best pitcher in game one, it's like hitting your best on-base guy leadoff. You want that guy to have as many opportunities to get on base because runners on base is how you score runs.
Right.
My entire life of watching Major League Baseball, I'm a pretty good catcher at Rivers. I played about three games. The goal is to have your best pitcher on the mound in as many key spots in a playoff series as possible.
Right.
So for my entire lifetime of watching the Red Sox, every other manager's been wrong, but Alex Cora is right. According to Rob Bradford, you said that was progress?
Basically. I mean,
like, what are we doing?
I think, the only way I can defend it is it's a long play. You believe that you got enough good out of Sale and you built up his confidence that he's good in game five. Maybe he pitches in game seven.
Do you think he built confidence yesterday?
I think he did, in a weird way, because he was being praised by his whole team. Cora, did you see Cora on the mound when he took him out? Like, you're great, you're the best, you did a great job.
He looks like a Mennonite.
I mean,
can we get rid of the beard?
And he did get hooked. I mean,
you mean squeezed?
Yeah, squeezed.
Yeah.
I mean, God, that was a terrible home plate ump last night, as we can all agree on. Tim in Springfield to start us off here on Ken and Curtis this morning. Was it a good idea to start Sale? Hi, Tim.
Hi, Ken. I really think it was in this series. I thought you just said it. He got squeezed, and there was a couple of calls there that could have went the other way. His velocity looked good. His breaking stuff looked good. He looked like somewhat of the old Chris Sale.
Yeah.
You're expecting him to strike everybody out. But if it went the other way last night and he went three or four innings and he looked good, now all of a sudden you're evaluating, well, okay, I can bring him in a tight spot down the stretch.
I guess.
This was an evaluation. He didn't give up five runs in the first inning. He gave up one in three innings. So, you know, and you didn't leave him in there another inning or two to see where he went. So,
game one of the ALCS, Tim, is this, like, spot to evaluate our players? I mean, it's kind of an important game to win, in my opinion. I don't know.
You're right, but you know what? We're playing like this is like a free-for-all for us. We beat the Yankees. As a true Red Sox fan, the biggest pinnacle of this whole season was beating them in that game. Because I was 14 years old in 1978 when I got my heart ripped out when that one game playoff. So that was it for me. Everything after this is gravy. So
you don't care what Cora does. I mean, they could get swept and you don't care, really.
No, I do if they get swept, but we don't have the bullpen. We already coming into this series knowing that we don't have a strong bullpen.
But that's the point, though. You had to figure out 19 outs last night from your bullpen. That's not a good strategy when you don't have a bullpen.
And I got to be honest, Tim. I grew up here, all that. I find this team much more hateable than the Yankees. After last night,
the Astros?
Oh, my God. What a collection of toolboxes. I can't stand that. Correa, the thing, he's standing there pointing at his wrist.
He was pretty arrogant after.
Oh,
yeah. He was pretty arrogant at his after show, post-game show, too.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens in the rest of this series with that. But, I'm just glad to watch him right now. I'm rooting for him. I'm hoping everything goes well. But this was a question he was going to have to answer either now up front or all of a sudden you're in a tight situation. He doesn't have any arms left, and he's got to bring him in. And now what do you got?
Yeah.
You know, because he hasn't done anything and everybody's been down on him. I thought he looked pretty good last night. I didn't think he was the best, but he was a lot better than he was. So hopefully that gets, you know, maybe morale-wise, he gets a little better, and we need him when we need him.
All right, Tim. So there it is. That's the rationale. It was all to sort of coddle Chris Sale,
okay,
to instill some confidence in him and hope that he delivers down the road. Which, you know, to be honest,
it
might work.
Is that what spring training's for? Am I wrong?
But with the way Cora has rolled aces this year, I mean, thrown aces, gotten pocket aces, would it surprise you that this works out down the road?
Yes, it would surprise me that this works out down the road.
I could see that. I could see Sale.
Even when Sale's been healthy, he's sucked in the postseason.
He was better last night, though. This is the best we have seen in a while.
The guy makes $35 million a year. He made pitch 2 2/3 in game one of a playoff game that you could have won and didn't, largely because your starting pitcher couldn't get out of the third inning.
Okay, but he gave up one earned run and was pulled out. It was not like he was out of gas. It was a decision, which turned out to be a good one early. I'm talking myself into it.
What are you doing? Like, everything that I believe about baseball that I was taught from people like Lou Maloney, listening to him, watching him play, all these guys in Boston that I've looked up to, it's like we're living in a bizarro world. Last night, they played. This team remains an incredibly likable team. They're tough. They make clutch plays. I mean, Kike is like an unbelievable playoff run he's
been
on.
What a night he had. God.
Awesome. And you're watching these. What a ballpark, too, by the way. That crowd is awesome.
Great. And Joe Buck made a huge difference, if you watch the TV coverage.
Joe Buck, I know.
It finally felt like a playoff game.
No, I know we like to give broadcaster a hard time. I do. But Buck actually made Smoltz somewhat likable. I mean, you could actually, like, enjoy the broadcast. He wasn't too dry, but I don't know.
See, now there are a lot of Sale defenders on the text line. 508 text. Guys, they didn't lose because of Sale. They lost because they couldn't hit with runners in scoring position, and the bullpen couldn't hold the lead. So the first point is true, sort of. They did not add on with multiple opportunities. They finished the game 1-for-9 with runners in scoring position.
Totally. And Lou pointed this out on Twitter, and he was right that the series is going to come down to scoring with two outs and men on base, and they didn't do that. That's all true. But you and I agree, or at least I think we agree, that if Eovaldi starts last night, they win the
game.
They're
up 1-0. Yes.
So, and what's the record when teams on the road win game one of the ALCS? My guess is it's something like 80% go on to win the series.
But now the counter argument to that, yes, but you might have lost tonight if you had pitched Sale, and you might have had to use Houck or Whitlock in game one, and they're not available to back up Sale, and therefore you're in a worse position. I don't know. I'm just trying to.
I need some help because you're smart. So what happens the day after today? What's going on?
There's an off day.
Oh.
There's a travel day.
So if you like pitch people in the bullpen today, they'd have a day in between the next game.
All right, baseball. So, Lou is on the line. Can you want Lou to explain?
Yes, let's do it.
Okay, Lou Merlone from Merlone and Fourier. Lou, I need help on this one. What happened? Why?
Well, first off, I would say that you guys it did work last night. Like I said, he got exactly what he wanted. He got a lead going in the sixth with Tanner Houck. You guys are talking like he gave up 4 or 5 in the first inning, and it completely backfired, and he screwed him, and they lost the game because of it. Like. You use Taylor and Ottavino to get to the sixth to Tanner Houck, and he's got 2 innings in him. He gave it up. Robles gave it up. So I don't really think this was – did Sale give you length? No. But I think on game one, if you get into the sixth inning with a lead, a 2-run lead, and Tanner Houck in the mound, that's – it worked.
But if you use those – but, Lou, if you use Ottavino and other guys to get you to the sixth, doesn't that negate their ability to come in spots that they ordinarily would be performing at a high level in, as they did during the regular season?
Ottavino is not a high-leverage pitcher anymore. I don't want him in the game. I mean, where they're at right now, it is simple. It is Houck, Robles, Brazier, Whitlock. Now, you could question they used Brazier for a third of an inning, but I think that's because he felt good about Houck. He just gave it up. This is on Houck. This is on Robles, you know. So it's like, you know, they gave up the lead. Houck had 2 in him, but he didn't have 2 in him, you know, because he gave it up. So I don't know. Sale, I thought, was okay. You know, he was okay, but he's a lot better than he was against Tampa. I can tell you that much.
So in your mind, that's what Cora was looking for, was just a couple innings out of Sale?
No, I mean, I think he was looking for 4 or 5 if he got it, but given where it was right there, I thought he'd like to kind of go and right to Taylor in that situation and get those lefties out. So he would have liked more, but I'm sure he's happy he didn't give up 5 like he did in Tampa. Like he left the game with the lead.
But you would agree, Lou, you don't want Sawamura pitching game one of an ALCS, and he gave up the eventual game-winning run.
Yeah, I don't want Sawamura in uniform, like if I don't have to.
Yeah.
But why was Sawamura in the game?
Well, you'll say because Houck didn't perform.
Well, because Robles didn't perform.
If
Houck gets it done, Robles gets it done, then Whitlock's in the game, right? So, I mean, I don't want Sawamura in the game. I don't want Darwinson in the game. I don't want Martin Perez in the game. You know what I mean? But if they're in the game, something went wrong somewhere, and that's exactly what happened.
And can you walk me through this? Because I honestly don't understand. So in between game 2 and game 3, there's a day off. In every postseason series that I've watched, I know the Dodgers and the winner take all, things are changing. They started an opener and all that. But in my experience watching baseball, watching your teams with Pedro starting game one or Schilling starting game one, why did it make more sense for Sale in game one than Eovaldi and flipping those two?
Okay, so put it this way. So the 3-4-5 series, you know, back-to-back-to-back at home. So if Sale goes game 2, and Eovaldi goes game 1, Until goes game two, and you need, say, Houck, and Houck gives you like three or four innings, right? So I don't think he can come back and pitch game four. So now Nick Pivetta becomes your game four starter, which means you can't use Nick Pivetta in game three. And you can't use Tanner Houck in game three because he just threw three innings behind Chris Sale in game two. So now you've completely limited how you can use Pivetta and Houck. You know, in other words, if Houck ended up, you know, whatever, going two or three innings and the game looked a little differently yesterday, he all of a sudden becomes your game four starter, and now Nick Pivetta becomes a weapon for you in your bullpen game two and game three. If Sale goes game two and things go sideways, you're screwed. You can't use Pivetta, you can't use Houck, whoever, you know, whoever it is for game three. So it was about flexibility and maneuvering through, you know, a seven-game series, games three, four, five, back to back to back.
But my thing with that, Lewis, so let's say they win last night with Eovaldi, and we obviously don't know what would happen. But let's say just for this argument that they did. Then game two, it's kind of a house money game. If Sale doesn't perform, I don't know who the long guy that would be the, quote, Eovaldi from the 18 World Series that could come in and eat innings. And then you return home 1-1. And if you're going to have to piecemeal the back end of the rotation, the back end of the bullpen, wouldn't you much rather do that at home as opposed to in Houston?
I don't know what the difference would be. You know, I don't want to piecemeal a bullpen at home and a road. I don't know what that difference would be. But if you're so confident in Nate Eovaldi, then what are you worried about tonight? You come home with a split, and you're in the same spot, aren't you?
Well, I just think the way last night's game unfolded, it seemed like a game. The Sox were, you know, they had a couple clutch hits. They seemed to have the game. They were in control in the fifth inning. And I just believe that you start your best pitcher. You try, okay. And Cora has done this all his entire career as a manager here, where he really approaches playoff games as winner take alls. I mean, he goes, let's win today. We'll figure out tomorrow.
No, I get it. How many innings does Nate Eovaldi go? Like five and a third? Is that what he's been going? Like, he's been really good, but he goes like five and a third. Let's say Nate Eovaldi goes last night and he goes five innings and gives up one run, and we pat him on the back for another awesome performance. Who do you think gets the ball in the sixth?
Houck.
And what happens?
Well, it's a fair point. That's what happened last night. The Houck gave up the two-run bomb and gave up the lead.
Right. I mean, so you know, if Eovaldi started last night and they're up 3-1 in the fifth and we pat him on the back for another great performance and Houck comes in and gives it up, what the hell's the difference?
Well, then you got Taylor and Ottavino to pitch the seventh and eighth as opposed to the third and the fourth. But my bigger thing, Lou, is so Eovaldi goes today. Now you don't get him until game six. Doesn't that put you in an awkward spot? I mean, you hope you don't lose the series in five, but okay, you get him in six, and then he can't pitch in game seven on short rest.
Yeah, I think the only thing there too is you know, is there a chance that they roll him out in 3 days rest in game five if you're down 3-1? So I mean, there's still that option, but you can't survive this with one starting pitcher. You know, that's the bottom line. You can't, a seven-game series. So other guys are going to have to step up. Erod's going to have to step up, and Sale's going to have to step up. And your long relievers, you know, Houck and Pivetta are going to have to step up. So,
yep.
You know, the odds are, you know, unless you lose it in five, you go back to Houston up 3-2, down 3-2, whatever it might be. And I think most people would like Nate Eovaldi, you know, pitching in that game six. And if you really need to and you need him in game five, he might be available anyway.
So to summarize, Lou, you feel like this worked. Eovaldi gets you have a great chance to get a split tonight, and then Sale, pardon me, you bring Sale back in game five, and you feel good about that, and you've now got Pivetta and Houck to use in those three straight games in a better form.
Yeah, I think you're in a better spot with Pivetta and Houck by doing it this way. And I mean, listen, did it work? You lost the game. But you didn't lose the game, I don't think, because of Sale. And I think the best way to look at it, like you said, is, yeah, if Eovaldi goes five innings, one run, Houck is still giving it up. Now, you say you got Ottavino and Taylor available, but that's not the plan. You know, the plan isn't Ottavino late. Like, you know, if I can get to the sixth, I'm going Houck or Pivetta, and I'm going Robles, Brazier, and I'm going Whitlock, period, end of story. So, you know, those other two guys, you know, lefty, I mean, Taylor could be in the mix, there's no question, and I understand you could have used them, but you were in great shape heading into the sixth inning. Great shape with Houck and Robles and Whitlock left.
Yep.
And they just gave it up. It's on them.
Mm. Was the Correa point to the watch a Apple Watch reference, or just him being
It's my time
cocky?
That's his thing. He did it in Chicago with the White Sox. He had a big base and clearing double and stood on second base and pointed to the watch and dropped "It's my time." So, I don't know. I mean, people are like, they should drop him. If you remember, Robles, like two pitches before the home run, freaking threw one almost at his dome. So, obviously it didn't work, but I got, you know, don't hang a 90-mile-an-hour changeup up and in. That was just a horrendous pitch. And can we just say this real quick? Can we move the freaking ball boy down the left field line?
No. Oh, my God. That cost them a run. They didn't even talk about it on the broadcast. You're supposed to pick up the stupid chair.
They didn't even bring it up. Pick up the chair. Get your ass in the fair territory. Let the ball go to the corner. It's a base-clearing double. It's 4-1 ball game. But instead, we have incidental contact on a freaking stool. Why is that guy there? Why isn't he, like, to the left more, completely out of play?
Or he could just be right in front to the right.
Nobody talked about it.
Right.
Nobody talked about it.
And if he's just in front, right in front of where the seats are, then he can move over to get the foul ball, but he's not in play. But my question, final thing, Lou, before we let you off here, I appreciate you calling in this morning. This has been great. For me, Astros, much more hateable team right now than the Yankees, watching that game last night. I felt much more rage watching the Astros than I did Judge or Stanton when they were at Fenway for the one game wild card. How do you feel about that?
I agree, because the Astros are, like, good.
Right.
You know what I mean? The Yankees are a bunch of frauds who hasn't done a damn thing in what, 13 years? Like, this Astro team is good. They're cocky. They're arrogant. You know, the Yankees have really nothing to be cocky and arrogant about, because they've been a complete disappointment now for a very long time.
All right, Lou. Lou in the broadcast booth Monday and Tuesday, and they're on remote somewhere. Where you guys? You're at the bullpen, right on Yawkey Way. Well, not Yawkey Way.
Jeez, Ken.
Sorry.
2 o'clock. You got it. We'll be there.
All right, Lou.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for calling.
Have a good one, boys.
See you later. That's Lou Maloney, who is lighting up the text line. 37937. 202 texter. Red Sox apologist. Sale goes 2 2/3, and Lou celebrates $100 million bust. Sox fan of DC. 413 texter. The Sale start sealed the Red Sox fate. They're done in 5 now because of the starter's failure last night. It creates a negative domino effect that reverberates through every pitching option thereafter.
In a weird way, I know this makes no sense, but in a weird way, if Evaldi sucks tonight, does that take Cora off the hook?
Well, yeah, because he wouldn't have won anyway.
Right.
You just lose. Well, if he loses tonight, they're cooked.
Yeah. Hey, the series doesn't start until the home team loses.
I guess. And they have been a resilient bunch. I have stood by them pretty much all year when nobody was on our show in the morning. You will admit that.
Totally.
Everybody was out. So I'm not going to bail on him yet, but I just that one stings last night. All right, 617-779-7937. Do you agree with Lou? Not that he said it worked. He kind of said it worked.
I think he just said that, you know, it's the best point that Lou made, which is a good one, was that if Evaldi pitches well tonight, we think he'll get into the fifth or sixth with the lead, and then he's out. Because nobody goes through the lineup 3 or 4 times anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's where they were, and they had Houck on the mound with the 2-run lead. It would have been a 3-run lead if that idiot ball boy didn't let his chair hit the ball and put it back towards the infield.
Was that JD that was running, though? Would he just, I guess either way, he's going to score on that.
I mean, there's a lot. That would have gotten all the way to the wall.
Yeah.
Left fielder wasn't anywhere near it at that point.
Yeah.
But, I mean, so they got Houck in a key spot with a 2-run lead in the 6th inning, and it didn't work out. And there's a chance that that would have happened to Evaldi as well. So that's the best point.
I mean, Evaldi has gone 7 in a couple of starts late in the year in August and September. And you did use Brazier before Houck came in. So that's one name. If Lou believes that was it was Robles, Brazier, and Whitlock to lock it down.
Right.
You know, you lose the ability to use Brazier late or use him in the 5th. But anyway, interesting debate. Let's get to what's trending. It's a long show today. And by the way, top of the 10 o'clock hour, we will get some football talk in. Pats Cowboys with Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk.
Yeah, and wait till you hear his take on Chris Sale.
Yeah.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Back to more of the Ken and Curtis Show on EEI.
Alex, your bullpen has been great, obviously, throughout the postseason, but is there kind of an inherent risk when you're into it in the third inning on a game like this and asking 5, 6, 7 guys to all be on point that one or two might slip up and have what happened tonight?
That's the nature of the game, right? And you know, they got some big outs, and we made, I don't want to say we made only 2 mistakes, because probably we got away with some pitches in the heart of the plate, but they took advantage of 2 mistakes. Altuve on the slider and Robles in the changeup. So, you know, we'll keep doing what we do. We were in the game all the way till the end. We feel good about what we did today offensively. So we just got to build up and then keep going and be ready for tomorrow.
Alex Cora, postgame last night, he was very over-the-top optimistic, very demonstrably. Is that the right word? God, I can't find words this morning. This is what happens when I work with you. I get dumber by the minute. Ken and Curtis, by the way. Ken Laird here, Curtis there. He was very uplifting.
What a deflection.
Cora was just saying, we're good, no problem. We got Nate tonight, no big deal. But he's talking about the 2 mistakes.
Why is he wasting Nate tonight? They could use him in game 3.
I know. Why not get all your bullpen people in?
I mean, why don't you get them all out of the way now, and then you can win game 3.
If you're just jumping in, Curtis and I are trying to come to grips with the decision to start Sale in game 1. Curtis just thinks Sale is a total waste of money and basically piling on him. But I just don't. I would have started him game 3 personally.
And honestly,
overthought this. Ivaldi's your guy game 1. You bring him back game 5. Then he pitches in the bullpen in game 7.
Honestly, and I really think they should arrest this guy that was on the third baseline.
Oh, my
Houston.
God. I watched this again during the break like 10 times. You are right about this. I am getting more angry the more I watch this. This ball kid.
He's a 19-year-old kid who's sitting there, like, sits. It hits the back of his foot off of his chair.
He doesn't move. He just sits there like a lump.
Every baseball game I've ever been to at Fenway, when there was the ball people down the lines, if the ball comes towards you and there's a question, you pick up your seat and you go into foul ground. It's like one motion. Everybody's done it in every game I've seen. This ball goes down the line and it hits off the wall behind, or the back of his leg, and then back into the wall. That clearly was going straight all the way into the corner down the left field line. The runner at first, which is J.D. Martinez, not exactly, you know, the fastest guy, but he easily scores if that goes all the way down the line.
We got ourselves a bona fide cheating scandal.
Yeah, and because Alvarez, the left fielder, is totally lumbering. I mean, he doesn't get there quick. He is as slow as they come. So you're right, even J.D. scores there easily. That is a huge run taken off the board. Between that and the home plate umpire, David Rackley, who definitely squeezed Sale.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, there's a cause to bitch about this game if you're a Red Sox fan.
Right, but you also got some really great catches from, you know, Renfro or Kike, whatever.
What? That's just good play.
I agree. Listen, that game was incredibly frustrating how it ended up. I understand Lou's point. It's a very fair point to say that Houck would likely have been pitching in a high-leverage spot in the sixth inning, whether or not it was Sale or Rivaldi. They were able to bridge it to Houck yesterday with a bunch of relievers. And that the issue in the game was that Houck gave up the 2-run bomb. Totally get it. I just refuse to believe that you don't pitch your best guy as often as you can in a series as tight as this one.
Yeah,
that's just
you.
Where I'm coming
they
from.
They overthought it. But one scary thing about the whole series is I know they did get to Presley for a run there, but their bullpen's better than yours. There's no doubt of that, right?
Yeah.
They have the decided edge in the pen.
They're a better team. I mean,
well, starting pitching now. See, that's the thing. Because McCullers is out, this series is very winnable.
I'm sorry.
Their starting pitching is not good.
My new cause this morning is to get this kid's name and get him on the show. So we'll see if we can figure
the 19-year-old. How do you know he's 19? You just made that up.
Right. I don't know.
I thought there was a story about it.
Oh, no.
Because I have seen very little coverage of it, to be honest with you.
No, he's got a big sweatshirt on, and he looked like he was high as a kite.
All right. Why did the Red Sox lose last night? Is this Cora's fault for starting Sale? Frank in Marshfield. Frank.
Hey, how you doing? It's clearly about this series. Clearly about the bullpens, because Houston can't be too thrilled with their guy last night, their starter. Okay. But my question is, Sawamura. A, why was he in there in the first place? And B, why was it? There didn't seem to be a sense of urgency to keep that at a 1-run game. Like, yeah. Once he didn't have it from the get go. He was nervous. He was twitchy. He couldn't find the plate. You got to keep that at a 1-run game, knowing that the top of the order, especially Kike Hernandez, is coming up. you know, they should have pulled him after two batters or three batters or one batter.
Well, so now you got to pitch three batters, right, when you come in. But do you think they should have pitched Whitlock there?
Well, they, yeah, anybody. I mean, they just called Salamora up. He loaded the bases, so there's, I was thinking that last night, like, he loaded the bases, so there's your three batters.
Yeah.
Get him out of there. He clearly didn't have it. You know what I mean? You have to keep that at a one-run game with Kike coming up. Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Well, they brought Martin Perez in. Who would have thought that? Game one, you got Martin Perez coming in the eighth inning. By that point, it's a mess. But that's the point. You blew Brazier early. You had to. You blew Ottavino. I know Lou said he's not a high-leverage guy anymore, but I'd rather have Ottavino in there in the eighth
but
than Salamora.
And also, if you have, let's say they started Evaldi last night. It's 3-1 Red Sox in the sixth inning.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets, you know, one out, one on in the sixth, and Cora says, all right, let's go to Houck.
Yeah.
Well, then you could use Houck for, he knows he's in there for maybe two-thirds of an inning, maybe a little bit more, but he's probably just there to get you to the seventh. It's a different mindset when you're in a game when it's the seventh inning and you need to just get a couple outs than it is when you get your entire bullpen to reach Houck in that spot. And you want to have, if you win yesterday, which you and I believe they would have, then it doesn't really matter what happens today.
Then I pitched Pivetta today, by the way. I mean, don't you think the way he pitched in the last series, you pitched Pivetta game two?
Right. And if you need to get a win, just sort of piecemeal together a victory with your bullpen, doing it at Fenway is a lot easier than doing it in Houston.
617-779-7937. Nick and Worcester. Hi, Nick.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we got you.
Listen, I called you guys all week. Okay, when the Red Sox won and everyone sounded happy. Cora has blown the lead for the Sox three straight games now. I don't know why he took out Sale. Houston has a huge curveball pitching. Dahlbeck is on the bench. He's letting Schwarber start. Schwarber was pulled out of the game, the first game that they blew to Tampa.
You're cutting out, Nick. Dahlbeck had very bad numbers against Valdez.
What's that?
Dahlbeck was terrible this year against
Valdez.
Over six
with four strikeouts.
Yeah.
Okay, but what I did not understand, the first game to Tampa that we lost,
Yeah, your line's cutting out. Try back later.
Well, you said that you guys were all happy this week about the Red Sox. Why wouldn't we be?
No, and I still think they can win the series.
Right.
That's the frustrating part. They, other than the bullpen, well, I mean, the Astros' offense is good. Your offense is as good as theirs, I would say. Damn close, if not right there.
Right.
The way Kike's going right now, you are as good as them offensively. Your rotation is better if Pivetta and Evaldi are as good as they were last series. Your bullpen's not as good. And now it might come down to Sale might decide the whole series, to be honest.
And not to mention, if we're looking at the two teams right now, the team that has the most to lose is by far and away the Astros.
Yep.
They're favored to win. They haven't won since the whole cheating scandal happened. And if you win game one, maybe there's added pressure. Maybe, you know, who knows? But winning the first game of the series, I thought, was the most important thing.
617-779-7937. All right, we got Mike Florio coming up top of the hour. More calls on this momentarily. It's Ken and Curtis.
You're listening to, and we're sorry, the Ken and Curtis Show on EEI.
Let's get this party started.
Oh. All right, Ken and Curtis, going to bang out some calls here before Mike Florio. Real quick, though, Curtis has done some deep diving on, first of all, great tweet. You put the face of
evil.
Yeah, I mean, the face of the kid who cost him the game possibly yesterday. Third inning, Renfro's double down the line, probably clears the bases, gets you Martinez scores. If that ball goes to the corner, which it would have without this kid sitting there, not
moving.
There's no
doubt. We're not over-dramatizing this. This would have easily gone to the corner. Lou brought it up. It was a great point on when he called in. And it clearly cost the team a run. Clearly.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, that's 4-0 then, so at least you're still playing when Kike homers in the ninth, but anyway.
And so now I just did a quick Google search of Astros bat boys, trying to find this guy's name to maybe get him on the show and yell at him, and I found a story from 2016. The Astros cheat in every way possible. There's footage of their ball boy relaying signs to the dugout.
The ball boy relayed signs?
Yes.
Was his last name Hinch?
No, it was Billy Correa, so I don't know what's going on.
All right. Did Cora blow it by starting Sale? Did the Sale experiment work? John and Gardner. Hi, John.
Good morning, boys. Toto, we're not in Kansas anymore, and Red Sox fans, it's not 2018 anymore. It didn't dawn on me until the Danny Santana pinch-hitting appearance, but
whether
it was Sale,
yeah.
huh?
Why did they? Yeah. Why was
whether,
Danny?
Whether it was, I'm sorry. Whether it was Sale or Houck or Santana or Robles or Sawa or whatever, and then Shaw, who in 2018 that ball would have been out.
Oh.
I'm glad Alex is my manager, and I'm not, you know, calling for him to be fired or anything. But it just seemed like 2018. Obviously, everything he did turned to gold, and I'm not saying this is it for this series, but it doesn't bode well to me that he made these moves and really none of them worked out. And, Chris, I agree with you 100%. You go with number one in game number one. And, you know, let's say that worked out and you got five or six from Eovaldi. Best case scenario, you get like one or two from Robles or Brazier, and then you got Whitlock perhaps for two. So you wouldn't, you know, if it worked out well, you wouldn't have burnt the bullpen and you would have still been in real good shape going forward. But, you know, it just dawned on me then when Santana came up. Oh, and by the way, I'll let you go with this. Has it ever occurred to you guys that some of the people they put on these, they don't really know the game? Like, is that somebody's, you know, nephew's kid or something?
Totally.
They just stuck out there?
It's like Brady's kid being a ball boy in Tampa.
It just seems like some of those ball boys and girls don't really understand the game.
Right, they just sat there. I mean, literally, you said he was stoned. You're right. He's like Wiggy at 6:02 in the morning.
Right.
He just,
well, there's
not
two things.
Moving at all.
There's a buzzer and a bag of Funyuns right next to him. So
let's go to Razor. Razor, love that name.
Hey, on Santana, he was replacing our right fielder, who the previous couple of at-bats was definitely over-swinging. Cora said early in the year he got him going by having him hit to the right side. And if he had done that last night, I think he still would have been in the game. The ball boy, what about obstruction on that? Is that an obstruction rule? Shouldn't it be an obstruction rule?
Yeah, I was saying this. I was saying that during the break, Razor. I have never seen it. It hits him. And they right to this ball boy's right is a guy that's working for Fox with the boom mic. And he's way out of the way. He's like 10 feet away from the line. The kid's just standing there with these cargo shorts on and a triple XL sweatshirt that looks tight. It's so weird.
That is absurd. He's not the tarp. He's a person. And he's an obstruction. You know, you contributed to a point that I had. Carrera, when interviewed by the commentator after the game on the field, said he threw the changeup on the first pitch, and I knew that I had him. That leads to my thought immediately was he's waiting for that changeup because this guy throws hard, much easier to hit the changeup. And the first pitch, somebody is reading the signs and relaying them to him, and he was just waiting for the next changeup.
I don't know. Correa's good. I mean, sometimes you're just good and you wait on the changeup. I mean, Lou was right. He dusted him off with the fastball inside. He had a couple. Robles looked good until that pitch. He struck out Bregman and Alvarez.
But the team carries themselves in a way like they've been wronged. The players,
the Astros,
were never punished for anything.
No.
They all had immunity. I mean, they literally didn't lose a cent.
Any doubt to you that Correa will be a Yankee next year? That they are going to sign him from big money? God. That is happening. That is done.
I mean, the Yankees can keep doing whatever they want. They're still not going to win. I don't know what the hell. I mean, every year they get the best free agent and they still lose. But this team is, I don't know if the audience agrees with me, but, you know, obviously nobody hated the Red Sox more than myself growing up, but watching this postseason, the Astros may be the least likable team the Red Sox have played since the 04 version of the Yankees with A-Rod.
All right, Sox and Red Sox all morning. Brian Barrett sits in with us from 11 to 1 today. He put together a 40-page document.
Dossier.
A breakdown of the series. I mean, it was awesome. So I'm like, we'll just bring him in and spit facts. I mean,
what are we talking about? He probably knows this guy's like the ball boy's like entire family lineage.
Of course he does. Yeah, totally. And he knows David Rackley's like mailing address. But we'll jump out. We're going to talk a little Cowboys and Patriots next with Mike Florio, who had a busy week covering the Gruden stuff, but obviously interested in his perspective on this game. Belichick from afar, Mac Jones, all that. Little football talk next is Ken and Curtis on EEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.